Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au. Master Builders Victoria. Membership provides free industrial relations support. Join today from just $1.40 a day.
Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Marr.
I'm going to leave the city.
Welcome back to Drive, Julian DeStoop and Bob Murphy with you. If you're just joining us, Andy, just not quite feeling 100% today. Hopefully he's back on his feet very, very shortly. Before we get to Chris Connolly to talk about David Mundy, who plays game 350 this week. Now, flexible and agile is it's been the term of the past 18 months. Yeah. So Warren Treadray, who now works at Channel 9, the former Port Adelaide gun, breaking, it's back on again. AFL games in Adelaide will be scrapped for round 19. Port Adelaide and Adelaide will fly out tonight for Melbourne. Both AFL clubs are unable to train in SA, and as state is in lockdown, AFL games wouldn't proceed this weekend. If they stay in SA, they risk being stuck. On, off, on again.
It's chaos, isn't it?
It's chaos. Absolute chaos. I gotta go home and have a few beers.
Thank you to Rodney Ead there, the voice of Rodney Ead. David Mundy, unbelievable career. 350 games is exceptional, of course, but when you do it for a WA team, Matthew Pavlich is the only other one to do it. It's incredible. Mm. And at 36th birthday today, playing as well as ever.
Why is the flying thing so... He flies business, I assume.
Would he fly business every time?
He would now. Mm. Maybe not in the early days.
Well,
not
one man,
Chris Connolly had him.
Surely the coach, Chris Connolly, was up in business class at the time. First coach of David Mundy has been good enough to join us. Chris, welcome to Drive.
Never sat in business class, Julian.
Ever?
No one did. In fact, we had to get the aisle seats for the ruckman. I mean, the worry was Aaron Sandilands in those days, because he was the biggest player ever to play. And the travelling was a bit all over the place in the early 2000s. And this thing about David, and Matthew's played over 300 too, but there was no Western Australians back when I started coaching that had played over 300. In fact, I'm not sure there was many that played around 250. So the thing was, if you go to Western Australia, you're going to have a shortened career. Now, of course, we got a lot more professional in our travelling, but guys like Matthew Pavlich and David Mundy have proved that if you look after yourself and you're professional, you can have a great career and play forever.
How do you feel about it, Chris, when you reflect on the milestone that David Mundy's about to achieve, 350 games? You knew him as a young lad. It's quite an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it's an incredible achievement. I look at it from a Fremantle point of view that, you know, Fremantle's a young club and it was quite young when I was involved. But now it's a mature club and it's one of the big clubs. You know, if you go to the facilities at Fremantle, you see the membership, you see the way they do their business. They're one of the genuine big clubs in the AFL. And guys like David Mundy reaching this milestone is significant in being a part of that and displaying that. I think the Seymour Football Club, where David grew up playing for Seymour, I think it's a big thing for country footy clubs, a great environment they create to not just create good footballers, but good people. And you would know that David's one of the more respected people in the competition. And then him as an individual, just being a wonderful professional. You just never knew with David. He always had that casual approach to life, to the game. And you just didn't know how much footy meant to him. And you're only ever going to see that with the results at the end of the day. Because he's an introverted type of guy. I see he's taking on a lot more leadership in terms of the media these days and his responsibilities, having been captain at Fremantle. But you know, those things didn't come naturally to him.
I was about to ask you that, Chris, because, you know, as a footballer, his assets are so obvious. You know, he's a big-bodied midfielder, so much poise, beautiful skills, can win his own ball, all of those sort of things. And I was curious, as, you know, you would have seen him as a youngster, of what was going to be his challenge. And it sounds like to me that you were worried if he had the absolute ferocity and the hunger for it. But, I mean, he's, you know, his career is testament that, you know, he certainly did, you know, internalise a lot of that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of hurdles to be dropped or jumped, a fair few hurdles. The first one was that he played at fullback for the Murray Bush Rangers. And Kane Johnson played at fullback for the Eastern Rangers. So you never really knew.
Yeah,
you knew they could defend. You knew that they were smart. They were defenders, not forwards. But you didn't really know the growth from that position. So he comes to Fremantle, bad pick 20. It had an outstanding under 18 year. But in his first year, he spent it at Subiaco Footy Club under the coaching of Peter German. who's now at Corra-Rutherglen, been a great coach in the system, Peter German. And Peter wasn't playing him. He was in the reserves. But he had a lot of talent. We could see that at training. And Peter and I had worked together at Hawthorn. We're pretty good mates. So we'd often talk about David. Now, David eventually broke into the seniors and become one of the better players and played in the premiership for Subiaco Seniors. And then it was the next year, I think it was 2004, he played the majority of the season. And there was one thing about David when he played. He's one of those guys that doesn't look like he's extending himself when he runs. He actually looks like he's not moving quickly. But when you get the clock out or you watch him on tape, he does move quickly from A to B, but he doesn't look like he does because he's such a smooth mover. Does that make any sense,
Julian? Yeah, a bit of a cruiser.
Well, I was going to ask you that because we were talking about Tom Mitchell yesterday, Chris, and Bob said that his cruising speed is faster than a lot of other players where they don't look like they're going that quick. But it sounds like that's exactly what you're saying about David.
Yeah, and you never, you know, and he looked like there wasn't an urgency, but there was. So you've got to be very careful as a coach that you misinterpret the desperate acts of a player on the field when they do have that style of kind of fluid movement. So David was one of those guys, but it was also combinated with other things. And sometimes this is a strength that there's guys in your squad that would cut off their left finger, pinky finger to win on the day. David had a bit more balance in his life. He had a wonderful upbringing. I've got a good story about that. But there was his first year, he just started going out with a girl in Perth and she had a 21st of a friend. It was a Thursday night. We were playing on a Sunday and they'd gone out for dinner as a group. And then they were going to, someone had said, look, let's go to this nightclub and have a dance. Well, David, he doesn't drink. I mean, he wasn't a drinker or a party guy like that, but he did go to this nightclub on a Thursday night. But he just didn't read the play. But in a two-team town, you're a senior player, Thursday night you're at a nightclub playing on Sunday, that's not a good look. But thankfully the media didn't get a hold of that. But there's little things like that, that, you know, there's a maturity that was going to have to come with life experiences as much as anything.
Well, What's his little story about his upbringing?
Well, I come from Shepparton, and in that particular draft at the end of 2002, was at the end of 2003 he was drafted?
It was, yep.
Yeah, okay. So we took, Subiaco Premiership must have been 2004, but nevertheless, we'd taken Rolly Dunn from Shepparton. David was a Golden Valley player too from Seymour. So after the draft, I got my parents to run a bit of a barbecue. And Stephen Nick, the footy manager, myself, were going to meet the families and introduce ourselves to David and Riley more formally. We'd met them at the camp they have. But anyway, he's very close to his family, David and his mum. And of course, here's this young kid from Seymour. He's been drafted to Fremantle. So she's arrived at the door and mum's opened the door and said, congratulations. And Karen just burst out crying. So it was a tough situation. So, you know, we come in and we have a chat about it. And, of course, we're laying it on. It kind of moved from semi-professional to professional football. And there's a lot of support for players. The Players Association were doing a great job at that time. So Stephen Ick is talking to Karen about all the things we're going to do for David. And Fremantle's pretty good at looking after their interstate players. Anyway, he's kind of reading off this sheet of all the stuff that we're going to do for David Mundy as a player, fell player. Anyway, he's got to one sentence and it said this, that, and the other thing, and family planning. Well, she let out a shriek. Head her in her hand. I said, did Stephen Ick after? I said, what'd you say that for? He said, well, it's not the whole script of all the stuff they get taught. So, I mean, here's your young son going to the other side of the country. And, you know, you're explaining all the things you're going to help him with, and one's family planning. It wasn't a good. I think from that point on, we kept that one out of the script.
Yeah, I know that many mothers would be overly pleased reading that line.
It's a bit early.
Son's drafted. A bit early. But it's important.
It's a bit early. Nah. Hey, Chris, do you think he can get to 400? I know we're basking in the milestone of 350 games. Julie and I were just chatting about the possibility of him reaching 400. We've seen it, you know, ticked over by Sean Burgoyne just recently.
I think players can play more games now, And I know there's different demands, particularly on the, you know, being full-time and the mental side of the game. But I think that players are much better coached. They're much better coached. You know, as new information comes to hand, not just from a football coaching, but the physiology, the psychology, the mental, the medical side of things. You know, now that doesn't mean you don't need a little bit of luck. I mean, you know that, Bob. You just need luck with, you know, the injuries that can come. I know the serious one you had. But gee, then you've got to look at his form, and then you've got to look at where the club's at. Now, it is in a developing phase, and you do need men amongst the boys. They're going to bring more boys in next year, Fremantle, because that's where they're at. You know, I think the plan around Fremantle's next premiership assault is pretty clear. This is a guy who's an incredible citizen on and off the field, club champion, club captain, you know, Australian player, All-Australian. And, you know, the biggest thing for David Mundy was that when they played in the grand final, they won and only, he was the best player. So he has ticked all the boxes. So I think unless his player manager backs the truck up, or unless he gets a serious injury, I think but it'll be a year-to-year thing. So I think we could put another 20 on for next year. And that gets you to 370. And then maybe another 20. He can always go back to the back flank.
Yeah.
It was Mark Harvey who put him into a ruck roving role. I coached him 4 years in the defensive back six, and it was Mark Harvey who saw that he's ready to take the next step, and that was an ingenious move by him.
He's getting a lot of love this year, David Mundy, A, for his performances, and now obviously this week there's a lot of focus with his 350 games. We can be a bit Melbourne-centric in the Victorian media. Has the rest of the competition, or particularly on this side of the country, been a little bit slow to realise just how good David is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, and it's, you know, people, Melbourne-based clubs are fantastic at embracing their people into their club and creating traditional rivalries and, you know, selling up to club crowds and sponsorship and membership. And you don't get a true perspective. And that just comes with the territory. I mean, you were talking about Warren Treadray before. If you asked me, who is the number one player you had the most trouble coaching against in your 6 years of coaching at Fremantle, is Warren Treadray. He just kept kicking bags of goals on us. And I was more of a defensive coach than an attacking coach, let's say. I think Warren Treadray's underrated. Matthew Pavlich is certainly underrated. You know, that just kind of comes with the territory, I think. And David is a very introverted guy. I mean, he's not one for wanting to, you know, be at the forefront of the media. He wants his actions to speak, you know, and what he's all about. So, you know, there's a little bit of that in it too, I think.
And just finally, before we let you go, Chris, obviously you played a big role in the Fremantle Footy Club, but you got a bit of red and blue running through the veins, having a great year on top of the ladder. Is this the year for the D's?
Look, I think they've got to put themselves, you know, in the top four, then you're a real chance. I mean, the odds are one of the top four teams will win. You know, it's been super disappointing. You know, the two games I sat down and had a real good look at was last week against Collingwood, and I wanted to throw something at the TV. So the frustration comes with it. But with every frustrating performance like that Melbourne have, there's a great learning attachment. So they're going to be better for last week's game than not. I know Melbourne supporters are frustrated, but I think it's a good thing in the end. But they're going to have to bring their A-grade game. And we never knew Dave Mundy was a great player until they started playing in the big finals games for Fremantle. And that's the unknown about a lot of the Melbourne players. So hopefully that stage will, you know, help elevate their games to another level, because they'll be recognised in, you know, in finals football. So that's what we're all hoping for. And, you know, I'm lucky that I coached at Hawthorn, Fremantle. My nephew plays for GWS, Melbourne. I was a mad Richmond supporter. I've got five.
Oh, you've got to choose one, Chris.
Surely someone can get up and win a premiership. My dad played for the Western Bulldogs. You know that, Bob.
There you go. There's half a dozen.
You nearly got the top eight sorted, Chris.
Well, I tell you what, Bob, you go out and see the Teddy Whitten statue at the front of the club rooms there, and you'll see my mum and dad's name on the bottom because they tipped in to help him. And even though Dad played for about 3 years, I think, under Ted Whitten and was great friends with Donnie Whitten, Ted had a great influence on his career, his long career in community footy. And look, can I just finish, Julian, saying that's what I'm involved in now, working with teams all around the country through Club Map, helping clubs with their planning off the field, on the field, mainly off the field, helping, you know, give clear planning to clubs to set up for the future, because community clubs are the heart and soul to our game, and I meet wonderful people all over the country.
Yeah, it's been a tough time for everyone in community footy. If people want any further information, where can they get it from?
Clubmap.com.au.
Yep.
And that's what we're all about. We set up strategic plans, operational, revenue. We'll help you raise more revenue, show you all the new innovations in country footy. A mate of mine, Terry Dillon, do you know Terry?
Do you know Terry Dillon, yeah.
CEO at Hawthorn and COO at Collingwood. And Terry's been Vice President of Coralin Footy Club for over 20 years. And I got with him and said, mate, you've got to take all your knowledge, it's really his knowledge, and help as many clubs as you can around the country, just not in football, but in all different sports. And we've helped a lot of clubs up to this point in time. And but it's the clubs like Seymour that help create the environment for the David Mundys to move through. And that baton then goes to the Murray Bush Rangers, who we left out. And Subiaco played their part, Fremantle. It's just a great story, David Mundy.
It is. And Chris, thanks so much for jumping on and sharing those memories of David Mundy. And good luck with that project you got going right now.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Always good to chat to Chris Connolly, former Fremantle coach and Melbourne player and supporter of one third of the teams in the AFL by the sound of it. Just a bit of good news coming through too. Western Bulldogs.
Saw that.
Cody Waitman has re-signed with the Dogs until the end of 2023.
The Flea. He's ours.
Got a bit about him, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Exuberant.
He is. He's got a bit of spunk.
He's got some spunk about him. You're listening to Drive with Julian DeStoop and Bob Murphy. Now, after the break... Now, was it Paul from Berwick who rang before? Or Simon from Berwick? His favourite segment, because he texted in, is
right.
Footballers as...
Dot, dot, dot.
What are we going with today?
Household items or products.
Give me
anything
one,
household.
One example you got for me.
Kevin Dyson vacuum.
Okay. Paul Hill's hoist.
There you go.
So give us a call, 1300 736 736 on the Jumbo Ugg Boots open line.